How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. I'm here. It's Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S. Happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. Big pro wrestling weekend. Last night, Night of Champions. Couple surprises in this. Surprised by some of the reaction, actually, on social media about this. I'm going to talk about that when we run down this card. I enjoyed it. I love an afternoon show. I got a six-pack of Modelo's. I sat in my yard. Popped one after another one. Tanned a little bit. Barbecued a little bit. It was awesome. I had a blast. We're going to talk about that. Also, a preview to tonight's Double or Nothing pay-per-view. You know, it's a fascinating card. Interesting card. And I have a great guest to talk about this. Also, we're going to be talking about AEW Collision and CM Punk. Collision was announced for Chicago. Big deal. So who better than my guest in the next segment coming up? Nick Hausman, houseofwrestling.com. I went on Nick's show. It was a blast. And I was like, hey, dude, you got to come on here. I was like, perfect. Wrestling Observer Live, we got to do this. So we're going to be talking about that a whole lot more. And I want your feedback, guys. Tweet me at Andrew Zarian. Let me know what you thought of Night of Champions. I want to know about that. And also, by the time you see this, by the time you hear this, the show's going to be kicking off for tonight's Double or Nothing. Message me at Andrew Zarian. Let me know what you're thinking about the show. I have a couple worries, but I think overall it's going to be great. When we come back, Nick Hausman, House of Wrestling, will be joining me. Stay tuned. Here on Sports Byline, Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition. Andrew Zarian here, joined the one, the only, Nick Hausman is here with me. Nick, what's going on, man?
Oh, it's great. It's beautiful here in Chicago. I'm starting my day talking to you, Andrew. We got big shows tonight. I am in a fantastic mood.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm very, very excited for, you know, I love when I have like back-to-back wrestling like this. Some people get exhausted by it, but I have learned to consume wrestling like a fan. For many years, I didn't, and it became miserable for me, especially doing those watch-alongs. Oh, yeah. People would slowly see the life out of me get drained when we were doing them. So, you know, my kids got into wrestling the last, I want to say, like 6 months. And oh. It's been a blast for me because now I'm watching it as with a very different perspective of what professional wrestling is to a lot of people. And yesterday was awesome. You know, I hung out in my yard. We watched in my backyard a 1 o'clock pay-per-view here on the East Coast for Night of Champions. It was a blast. I had a great time. I'm when we get into that segment about breaking down this card, I was very surprised. I did a poll on Twitter and a lot of people didn't like the show. And you know, you generally get that when it's a show in Saudi Arabia. You generally have the political conversation around it. But the complaints weren't that. It was more of they just didn't like the wrestling. And, you know, little surprised by that, but we'll break that down. Nick, well, you know, you've been doing some amazing stuff. And how do you consume wrestling now? Have you has that changed for you as someone that covers it so deeply?
Well, I watch most of the nighttime shows in the morning now. I have my schedule throughout the day. So I'll usually watch Raw on Tuesday morning and I'll be getting things going. I already kind of have an idea of what the highlights are. Same thing for, you know, NXT on Wednesday mornings, Dynamite usually Thursday mornings. That's made my life way easier. It's made it easier for me to just have a life, honestly. But then things like yesterday come up or this weekend where you're like, you want to watch live. You want to see the big stuff happen live. I was like you. I was listening to your description of you barbecuing and tanning and enjoying the show in the afternoon. I was supposed to have three friends over. Only one of them showed up, Kevin Kellum, a real bro. And he was treated to Bloody Marys and seasoned red potatoes and a nice prime filet.
Oh, nice.
I did it right. I had a beautiful spread for my Night of Champions. 3 o'clock comes around Chicago time. This show is over. I could do whatever I want with the rest of the day. I had a great time watching Night of Champions yesterday.
Yeah, it's always a blast. And, you know, when you watch it with people around you that are enjoying it, it's a little bit different. But, you know, overall, like covering this, right, you're really deep into this. Obviously, the CM Punk. By the way, you improv, right?
Oh yeah,
do you improv.
If you're watching the video, this is an old school Chicago improv poster here. This is Nick Hausman, Colt Cabana, same bill right there on the
Look
wall.
Look at that!
Isn't that wild?
Has a lot changed for you as far as from that moment from last year to today, as far as, you know, coverage it's cool to see people's career grow and rise when you're watching this, and I'm you know, so happy for you, because it's been a fascinating year. You know, you've made some moves with what you're doing and where you're going. Tell me about it, because I'm very interested. This is more for me than anybody
sure.
else. I want to know more.
Well, you know, my career is my pro wrestling journalism career is kind of gone in waves over the last 10 years, where I would do something and it would get me a little bit more attention. It would take me a little bit further. You know, I did my series of podcasts with Bischoff and Bret Hart and Sean Waltman, and for a brief moment, Bill Apter, who's still my familia. And so those got me some attention. And then came the Cabana Punk trial with Dr. Amon. That was the biggest thing I had done to that point, where I actually talked to Punk and Cabana afterwards, and those videos went wild. And I think that's when Dave and I really, your boss, Meltzer, that was the first time I really kind of felt like I was starting to sit at the table, because Dave repeatedly told me he used my notes from that trial in the Observer for things. So that was kind of cool. And then I just was trying to do my best to just give back as much as I could as a managerial role over at WrestleZone and Wrestling Inc., and managed to help bring a lot of friends into the business, got to help other people that I loved in the business find bigger roles and bigger voices. And this last wave here, which really started it all out, you know, I before All Out, and I've told this story before, but like that day, I kind of was getting the vibe I might be ready to take some time off. I was just really burned out. Everybody knew me as this guy that was tracking this Punk Cabana story, and they're like, we don't even know if there's anything there, whatever. And then right after the show, we all found out, no, Nick was probably asking all the right questions about, because there was actually things going on backstage. And it resulted in this historic moment where people learned a lot about me and Punk and Cabana and all this wonderful stuff. And so this last ride here for me has been very interesting, because, like I said, I've been through a couple waves, but there's never been this 100-foot wave, for all you surf fans out there, where I just caught it and rode it as hard as I was thrashed the gnar. I'm trying to get real surfy here. And it's been a blast. And the thing about it was, you know, again, when I say that I was really kind of in a bad place that a little before All Out, I was kind of questioning myself, my future. The amount of positivity that came from my fellow coworkers, the fans, everything really lifted me. And, you know, I was still kind of struggling. I'm glad I took some time off at the top of the year. And I'm working for myself now, which I think is the best thing for me. And I love Wrestling Inc. I love the people at Wrestling Inc. I think they do great work, as do I think the same thing about WrestleZone. And I'm just really enjoying this moment. I'm enjoying getting to do good work. And I'm trying my best to bring positivity and not cause problems and be the worst thing in the business, Andrew.
Were you alluding that I'm doing that?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, me.
All you little dirt sheet people. Yeah.
All you dirt sheet. Listen, I always say, I just happen to know a lot of people, and I go out to a lot of these dinners, and sometimes a couple, you know, scotches in, people like to tell me things. It happens.
Sure.
You know? And that's just been my career. It's bizarre. Like, how I ended up here is the most amazing story that I could have ever put together. I'm such a fan of pro wrestling. A lot of people think I'm not, which I think it's the hair and the eyebrows that throw people off a little bit. They want to find something villainous about me. But
you
I
kind of look like a James Bond villain.
Yeah,
though,
a little
to
bit.
Be fair. Like,
little
I could
bit.
See you with a cat, like, looking
oh,
really
yeah.
evil.
Oh, know? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, it's a fun journey for me, so I absolutely love this. You know, and the Punk stuff that you brought up, you know, we got a couple of minutes sure. in the segment. It hasn't ended. That title wave is still going strong, and it's almost a year now. And, you know, we were just doing some editorial talking, and just between me and Rich and Garrett and, like, everybody I do a show with. And it was like, do we want to continue talking about this at the level we are? And yes, because it is on people's minds, and people are very interested in it. And you know what? At the end of the day, did Tony make the right decision by bringing him back? That's up to that's in their wheelhouse. But as far as optics go and perception goes, this nobody's talking about anybody else as much as they're talking about CM Punk.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing about this is because there does seem to be a lot of well-intentioned people here that just want to do good work and they want to do good television and they want to make a lot of money. You know, one of the things that's been reiterated to me by people that really much are in this that are not like that are kind of exhausted by it is there's a real opportunity here to create something that is going to affect and help the wrestlers and the business for decades to come. Decades. If we can pull this thing off, we are almost done robbing the bank, guys. And we can get out of Dodge. We can go dice up this cash. We could start our own little empires, whatever you want to do. You know, we are right there on the precipice of this thing breaking in a way where it could be really, really good for a lot of people. I thought it was very telling. And Tony Khan's media call back on Thursday when he was asked, I believe this was on Thursday, where he was asked about whether the Collision deal was part of a new deal or was part of the existing deal. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he said it was part of the existing deal that lasts through 2024, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's
okay.
It's an add-on, I guess, onto that deal.
Okay. So if this thing goes well, they're still in contract negotiations. This is going to be like, it's interesting to me that they didn't sign a new deal with Collision in place. They wanted to see kind of how, in my opinion, from the outside looking in, it would look like they want to see, show us you can pull this off, and then we'll come back to the table here. We put together a longer deal. And we're very much in the show us you can pull this off phase of it right now. And that's why I agree. This backstage, this situation in some way, the conversation has to stop because it's a real distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the situation they want to be focused on.
Yeah, it really is. And in speaking to people at Warner that I do regularly, it has kind of impacted some of their outlook on the company, you know, and that goes back to something that Eric Bischoff has said about what happened at Turner with him, you know, the negativity and the stories that got written kind of got in the way. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about last night's WWE show and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition. Nick Houseman, House of Wrestling, joining me. We're going to run down this card. Night of Champions was yesterday. I enjoyed the show, like I said.
Yeah.
You too, right? Overall, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't love the MBS chant at the press conference, but, you know, it's like...
Was it really? I didn't see that part.
Oh, yeah. Hunter, like, personally, like, thanked MBS, and then an MBS chant broke out.
Got it.
It was like a dystopian pro wrestling nightmare. But outside of that, I thought if I can emotionally remove myself from the fact that they would probably have me killed over there, then I thought it was a fantastic show. I enjoyed the show quite a bit.
Yeah, outside of the murder. Yeah, absolutely.
I said, I had a nice steak. I enjoyed myself. I was trying not to sweat it.
Yeah. Show opened up with the World Heavyweight Championship, the world title match between Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. I enjoyed this match. Crowd started off hot. Seth came out in a bonkers outfit out of Fifth Element. I did not know that. Thank you to the notes for that.
There you go.
This is where the notes come in handy when they're not deleted while I'm doing a show. I thought it was a fantastic match. I thought Styles looked great. You know, for the fact of the matter, Styles has been doing this for over 20 years. The guy still looks great. He's changed his style. He just came back from an injury. I would have loved to see him win, but obviously Seth Rollins is the right choice here. Triple H came out and handed the title to Seth afterwards. Big moment. I'm curious where they go from here. Is it Brock? Is it Cody?
Cody looks like he's going to be away for a bit here. Brock, you know, would be, or maybe not, maybe just keep selling this thing. But it looked like somebody who would be taking a couple weeks off TV based on the way that angle played out. I think I'll start with AJ. I love that AJ said the quiet part out loud on the way to this. And he said that this is obviously a secondary title.
Yeah.
Which I think, sets up something in the future with Seth. And I think kind of playing into that kind of, being under the back of the ear of Seth, where it's like, you're not really the top guy. He's the kind of guy I think that can drive him a little nuts and maybe push him in some fun directions. And so I kind of like that. With AJ, though, if he does want to go after the top prize, he can. Him and Roman are on the same brand. He's got Gallows and Anderson in the wings. Roman has a dysfunctional band of misfits that we'll talk about here in a little bit. So I think AJ very easily slots himself back into the main event picture, at least I hope, over on SmackDown. And look, AJ said it's secondary. A lot of people hemmed and hawed about how this thing played out, including myself. Doesn't come across as very grand. But if anybody can just pick up this ball, run with it, and move on in a way that's meaningful, it's Seth Rollins. The fans are there for him. I don't think anybody outside the IWC is going to care one bit how he got these titles, and I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Also, the other thing they could do, I mean, it happened with the Universal title, and I wasn't sure if it was originally done by design, but, you know, obviously Finn got hurt, he won that title, Kevin Owens got the title, Goldberg got the title, Lesnar got the title. It was a really quick back and forth, and part of that was to build the legacy of the title. You know, when I had asked when this happened, you know, it just a lot of that title's bouncing back and forth, and why Bill Goldberg? Why are you giving him a title? And it was said, you know, if you're trying to build the legitimacy of something, having former champions, names that are recognizable, really go a long way, especially for the early days of that lineage of that title. And you know what? Having Seth Rollins hold it, maybe holding AJ holding it, maybe Lesnar getting it, and then Cody getting it, you just built, you know, top stars in the first, you know, 6 months of the title, whatever. I'm just throwing it out there. But interesting, you know, good that Seth got it. I hope it's not a secondary title. I hope they treat this as like the worker's title or something different. But my question is, what is Roman forever going to hold two titles until he loses?
I was wondering about that too, because did he still come out with both titles at the end of the show?
Yeah.
Man, and Seth has got his title?
Yeah. So which is which?
I hadn't even thought about that. That's a bad
what
look.
What is the black belt? What is the black belt? Because that's a WWE World Heavyweight Championship, right?
Yes. Or is it just the WWE Championship? Did they drop the World Heavyweight from it? I think they just called it the WWE Championship.
Man, so that lineage is something straight out of Always Sunny. Pepe Silvia trying to find
You know what it is? He's just a big Ultimo Dragon fan.
That's what it is.
He's like, you know, you got a perfectly good title. You can't just throw that away. You know?
No.
That's what it is.
After this match, we got Trish Stratus defeating Becky Lynch. Trish looked... I very much thought Trish looked great. I enjoyed this match. I saw a lot of people said it was a little clunky. There was one spot that was a little wacky. I think it was a spot in the corner. Trish's gear...
Yeah, she was going up for the head scissors off the top rope, and it was...
Didn't work.
Off. Yeah.
Trish's gear was a callback to what she wore in 2004 in the main event with Lita. I thought the match was fine. I thought Trish looked... You know, no offense. I thought she looked better than I was expecting. I went in there with very little expectation. It's hard when you don't wrestle every week. Becky did a great job. I thought Trish did a good job. And in the end, Zoe Stark came out and busted Becky's nose with what was the move? It was with her knee, right?
I went looking for it because I was writing up an article about it, and I couldn't find a name for it. I the best I could describe it as some kind of inverted face buster finishing maneuver.
Yeah,
that's the best description.
That's a very close description, actually. But now you see Zoe Stark and Trish are teamed up. You know, I think that's a good pairing. I think Zoe's very impressive physically. She has a very interesting look. I'm into this. Let's see where this goes.
I'm way into this. I thought this was, I was watching this with my buddy, Kevin Kellum, and, you know, we were talking about finish. I go, the only finish that makes any sense to me is Trish over Dirty, because they just drafted her to Raw. Doesn't seem like she's going anywhere. Doesn't seem like this feud with Becky is going anywhere. You don't want to pin either woman cleanly here. So some kind of screwy finish where Trish picks up the victory. That's what I thought was going to happen. That's exactly what happened. I feel very smart about that. And thank you, everybody. Cheers.
Dude,
but I'm very smart. But Zoe Stark, I thought was the big winner in all of this. You know, I thought she came across looking like a big deal. I think getting to work with Trish right now, I love the pairing. I don't love that she nearly killed Becky Lynch with that knee to the face. I mean, you break somebody's nose like that, you go one of which ways.
Yeah.
But she came across in the end looking like a monster. And Becky sold it on Twitter with a bloody photo. By the way, aren't they not supposed to be sharing bloody photos anymore?
I know, but they did.
Yeah.
They did. You know, the rules change depending on the week.
So I just loved this. I thought it was very well done. I liked all of it.
I'm going to speed it up a little bit because we're running out of time. It's called the Z360 is the name of the finisher. The Z360.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Cool name. Gunther defeated Mustafa Ali. This match was great. They did a lot in 9 minutes. Ali came out. You know, big reception for Ali. Gunther looks like $1 million. Nice IC title match. They've really added legitimacy to that title again. It's not a joke. I hope they continue it. After this, so after this match, I think something happened. The crowd got a little tired. Asuka defeated Bianca Belair to win the Raw Women's Championship. I was surprised by this decision, considering how long Bianca has held the title. She missed the initial miss shot. Then she put it in... these notes are wacky. Then she put it in her have wiped into her eyes. So I guess what our producer's saying here is that she then wiped it into Becky's eyes.
Right.
And setting up the win. The crowd didn't really love this. They kind of got tired at this. I don't know why, but you know, you had three really hot crowds, you know, hot reactions to the matches. So I guess this was a cool off period. I thought they did good. Was it a little wacky? Yeah, a little wacky, but I was fine with it.
I think the crowd really didn't like seeing Ali lose, first of all.
I think that's especially what it was.
Especially the way they put him over. He's a great guy. I like the Asuka finish. I thought if she'd have lost here, she was going to be about as dead and wandering the desert as possible. So at least this gives her some renewed momentum. And look, Bianca beating people is tired. Bianca chasing a heel for that title, that's where I'm at right now. So yeah. I thought it was a wonderful decision. Really, really, really good booking decisions on this show, up and down.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley defeated Natty to retain the SmackDown Women's Champion. It was a squash match. Just lasted over a minute. Dominic ran into Rhea's arms after. Was a nice touch. Very dominant match. Quick, boom, boom, boom. Really putting Rhea Ripley over as a monster right now, which is great. Brock Lesnar defeated Cody. Cody came out with a titanium cast. Some doctor cleared him. It must have been Dr. Zahorian that's clearing him to do this, because nobody's clearing you with a broken arm. Came out, it was semi-competitive. You know, he got beat up tremendously. It wasn't a total squash match. And at the end, he passed out in a Kimura.
Yeah, this is the classic Cody Rhodes story, right? Like, his heart is bigger than his fists. And he went in there, and the thing about Cody matches that I love is he could go when he needs to, but he is the best at just getting the most out of very little. Him and Brock both. Like, the reason these two work so well together is they do what Sean Waltman calls the main event style, where it's a big man's kind of slow but methodical style. I mean, these guys sat on the mat in that Kimura half the match, and it was compelling. Just watching this man sell and then pass out. So, classic Cody story. I do get the vibe he'll probably be off TV selling this for a little while to come back and maybe at SummerSlam do something big. But Brock is back. Brock stuck around after Mania. Yeah, did the Cody program? Does he do a Rollins program now? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, and he seems a little reinvigorated, Brock.
Yeah,
you know, the last. You know, after we heard that he left when Vince, you know, the whole Vince thing, he walked out. I feel like he's gotten reinvigorated a little bit, and I think he's excited for these new type of matches that we're going to see with him. Very, very interesting. I hope they do something interesting here, and I hope at least this, you know, maybe he could do a three-way for the title.
I know we don't have a ton of time, but do you think one of those reasons could be the fact that Dana White and Vince are about to working directly together, and if there's any one person that could benefit from UFC and WWE making any more money together, it could be Brock. And I don't know if he has another fight in him, but the door would seemingly be open if they're all doing business together.
That's interesting. So, I think we're going to see a lot of the synergy between the UFC people and WWE. I expect to see more UFC people on WWE TV. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the main event. I'm going to take some time with this with Nick, because I thought this was a fantastic story to be told. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeated Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, but how did it happen? We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition. Double or Nothing kicking off in a little bit here. We're coming final segment of the show. Actually, no. Next one is the final segment. This is the last long segment. Little inside talk here. Radio talk. I want to touch on this because this was a big deal. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeated Roman and Solo to retain the undisputed WWE titles. This was fantastic. Sami was so over. He delivered his promo. He cut a long promo in Arabic. He just, how do you not like this man? Great story. You know, you you hear, you know, oh, this guy's going to make it in the business, or this guy's going to be a huge star when he, you know, in years. Sammy had it all. Sammy is a captivating wrestler. He's a great promo, great personality. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you look at someone, you're like, yeah, but they won't ever make him the guy. Well, you know what? He's as close to it as being the guy as possible right now. One of the hottest angles in the history of pro wrestling is this Bloodline storyline, especially in the modern era. He's a key player in it. And main eventing this show was a big deal. Fantastic story. Essentially what happened, the Usos came out to help Roman and Solo win. They take out, I believe they took out Kevin Owens on the table. They go in the ring. They hit Sammy with a super kick. They hit him with a second super kick. Now they go for a double super kick. Bam, right into Solo's face. Solo's out. And the masterpiece of the story was that wide shot. And you see Roman peeking, and that's all he saw. He did not see anything else prior to this. He was kind of out of it when they attacked Kevin Owens. He definitely didn't see when they attacked Sami Zayn. The only piece that they saw, he saw, was Solo getting double super kicked, comes in the ring. What the hell are you guys doing? And here comes Jimmy with a super kick on Roman. Tells his brother, you should have, what are you, you know, obviously Jay is screaming, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And he says, I'm doing something that you should have done a long time ago. And bam, hits him with another one. Holy moly, what a great story.
No, Shakespeare, Andrew. I mean, this is what has been so great about the Bloodline. You know, I'm a little kind of tired of the 20-minute entrances on SmackDown. Like, the in-betweens of pay-per-views don't always kind of grab me these days with the Bloodline. But that, they deliver, you know, every single time on pay-per-view these days. There's something big going down. There's some kind of big takeaway or change. A lot of people I know are saying, this is the end of the Bloodline. I ran a headline, Jimmy Uso turns on Roman Reigns. I think that's a fair way to describe here. Jimmy definitely turned on Roman. He kicked him right in the face twice.
Yeah, twice.
But I don't predict this to be the end of the Bloodline by any stretch. I think you accurately described what was, in a storyline perspective, a lot of fog of war, right? Yeah. You're only seeing parts of what's going on around you. You're drawing your own conclusions. I think the beginning of getting the band back together will start on Friday. I think by SummerSlam, I'm not predicting a big four-way match between Uso, Solo, and Roman at SummerSlam. I think they'll be back on the same page.
Yeah, I this is a big. Somebody asked me this question. I'm going to research it. When is the last time WWE, for the longevity of this Roman return? You know, he came back and he essentially began this transition into who he is.
Right.
When is the last time WWE has committed from beginning to this point, this long of a storyline that has been captivating from the beginning? There really hasn't been any bad periods in this Bloodline story. As far, you know, obviously little things happen here and there. Maybe it's an off week, but overall, they have committed to telling the story for the last 2 years.
I think, and this is going to sound weird, but I think the only thing you could compare it to would be DX, right? Like, you took guys like Hunter and Sean, who were presented differently, and you changed their presentation a little bit here, made them different, right? Changed the tone, literally, of the whole product. And DX ran for years, right? There was highs and lows. There were good spots. There were bad spots. A lot of pay-per-view main events. Will it fizzle out kind of slowly like DX did? It doesn't give me that vibe, but I can't think of maybe that. I mean, kind of the Shield, maybe, kinda, similarly.
Yeah.
But DX is where my head floated immediately.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. A few notes quickly before we go into Double or Nothing. They made sure to put younger fans in the hard cam section, which made a great visual this time around. This was Sammy's third PLE main event for 2023, and according to the WWE website, the new World Heavyweight Championship is a new title and has its own brand new lineage. It is not connected to the old world title. So it's a brand new, let's start off fresh. Bianca's title reign was 416 days. That was the number I was looking for.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. And I don't mind this being a whole new title. I know a lot of people were up in arms about this thing being picked up. Again, this is Seth Rollins. This is an opportunity for Seth Rollins to make this thing whatever he wants it to be. And Hunter, obviously. It goes hand in hand, the talent and the booker. Make this title what you want it to be. The IWC will say what they want to say. The fans are there for Seth right now. They're there for Seth as champion. There will be an opportunity for him to make this what he wants to make it.
Yeah. Let's go into it. Double or Nothing preview show begins in a soon, depending on where you are. Soon. I don't know what time it is where you are. It could be 6. It could be 5. It could be 9. Whatever you are. Time doesn't exist. We live in a simulation. That's. I'm going to go into a crazy live read now for some vitamins right after that.
Got some of that RVD CBD THC supplement rolling in the show today, I guess. I didn't know we were going to go into life as a simulation territory while talking about Double or Nothing.
I throw them in every now and then. Every now and then you'll get something wacky in the show. The buy-in pre-show, Ethan Page and the Guns versus Matt Hardy's Jeff Hardy and Hook. If the Hardys win, Matt Hardy will own the rights to Ethan Page's contract. Great. You know, I hate these contract stipulations. I think they're a little silly. But okay, you know what? I'd love to see the Hardys in a match on the show. They're in the pre-show and, you know, they're helping, you know, 4 young guys get over, which is always a plus.
Hey, and Matt took something, a bad situation with Jeff Gunn. It definitely feels like Tony Khan was just like, you want to work with Ethan Page, do whatever you want. And they made the best of a bad situation. And I think it is good with Tony putting Jeff and Matt, their first match back together, on the buy-in. Let's not push Jeff immediately into a high-pressure, high-profile pay-per-view match. Let's let this thing play out here for a little bit before we really fully get behind this act. I think it's a good move.
Totally cool with it. Anarchy in the arena, blood pool. Blackpool Combat Club, John Moxley, Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta versus the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and Hangman Page. This is going to be an insane match. They're going to do some crazy stuff. I'm sure they're going to be bleeding everywhere. Do you continue this? Or do you not continue this after this? I do know that there was talks. I don't know how official it is, but there was some talks to do a blood and guts match in Boston. So whether or not this leads to that as the final moment or it becomes a different type of match, I don't know. How do you see them doing this?
Yeah, I think this will continue on. These two acts seem like they're going to be the centerpiece of Dynamite. They were not included in the Collision announcement, so I think Collision will have unique storylines that do not involve these two. And I think Wheeler Yuta is the obvious out man here, right? You know, everybody else in this situation is a top $1 million money draw that would really not benefit from a loss right now at this point in time. So I think it will be a wild, chaotic brawl. I think at some point Wheeler Yuta is going to eat a bunch of finishers. He's going to be looking at the lights, and we will carry this over into, blood and guts or whatever else they have next.
Yeah. Unsanctioned match, Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho with Sabu as a special enforcer. You know, let's just throw Sabu in it. We're in Las Vegas. He lives there, right?
I don't know that Sabu's adding more than he's taking away right now. Most of the talk I've seen about Sabu in this situation has not necessarily been about his in-ring work, but more of his chat room work.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I don't know how much he could do. That theme song was very close. They did a good job. Yeah. I don't know if it was Ruckus or who did this, but cool theme song.
It's good.
Yeah,
hey,
I'm curious what they do here with this.
Oh, I think Adam Cole's going to beat Chris Jericho here. You'll get a moment with him and Sabu afterwards where the legend puts over Adam Cole. Cole is, again, this show is setting the stage for Dynamite and Collision in June. You're going to get a good idea of who the company is going to be rallying around and directions going out coming out of this show.
Yeah. AEW Trios Championship match, House of Black versus is defending in an open challenge here. MG, our producer, who do you think is in there?
I thought this had been announced, hadn't it?
Yeah, it is announced.
Acclaimed and Daddy S.
Yeah,
it's the Acclaimed and Daddy S.
Yeah. What? Oh, once I told you my notes are all wacky. You see this? This was a complaint.
That's
all
right. You don't need to ask your producer. I'm right here. I know what's up.
Sorry. There you go. I got confused here because I saw Rampage and I saw that they had a match. Now I'm like, did they take it away? Did something happen? All right, cool. I assume House of Black continues on and wins. Maybe an angle between Daddy Ass and the Acclaimed. You know, I feel like they got to do something there. They kind of took a back seat.
What happened there?
They took a back seat.
Why?
Too many people.
Why?
Too many people.
I don't know. They were making so much money hand over fist. Why they slowed that money train down with the Acclaimed? I have no idea.
AEW Tag Team Championship, FTR defends against NI Great, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Mark Briscoe is a special guest referee. I want Jeff Jarrett to win every title in this company. I don't care if it's bad for business. I just want him walking around with every title belt and doing his Fargo strut, and you know, maybe Dixie Carter could show up too.
Maybe. Wouldn't maybe. That be great? I would love Dixie to get involved. Make her NXT GM. That's my goal.
Make her.
But she'd be great. But FTR wins. Big moment with Mark afterwards. The only thing I could see being screwy here would be like if Mark turns FTR, but why would you turn Mark Briscoe heel right now?
He needs
now?
Some workers on the farm, dude. He saw what they're capable of.
I'm trying not to overthink this. I think we're going to get a feel-good moment with Mark Briscoe and FTR after beating Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal.
TBS champion Jade Cargill defends against Taya Valkyrie. I think Jade will continue on with this.
I don't know. We just saw Asuka upset Belair, and I think if they do it here, it would be for the same thing. You know, like, are we getting tired of booking the same angle over and over and over again with Jade Cargill? Do we want to see this program with her and Taya, which has gotten several weeks of storytelling, which is not always exactly the case with some of the women's titles, seems to be working. If there was to be an upset here, I think Taya is probably a pretty good pick for that.
Yeah. Ladder match, TNT champion Wardlow defends against Christian. Maybe Christian takes this, you know, fascinating to do this. I think this title should be front and center on Collision. And, you know, having Christian on that card too might... It's not bad, you know, to put him there to continue this.
Well, and this is his style of match historically, mm-hmm. right? Ladder matches. The title has been so hot potato-y. If Christian does take it, which I think could be a good call, especially bringing that star power, putting it attached to the name TNT on Collision, I hope he just keeps it for a while.
Yeah. We got a minute left here. I'm going to speed through this. AEW Women's Championship. Jamie Hayter defends against Toni Storm. Jamie's hurt. They've told a story here. I don't know if she's going to be competing, but you know what? Maybe put it back on Tony and continue on. That's a possibility. You got the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royale for the AEW International Championship. And you got the Four Pillars match. Main event, World Heavyweight Champion. MJF defends against Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Give me your quick thoughts on this. Who takes that match? It has to be MJF.
It has to be MJF. Seems like a foregone conclusion. It will be a huge shock if it's not MJF. And I'd love to see CM Punk walk down, confront him right afterwards, and set the stage for some kind of confrontation between those two to kick off Collision.
And that is how you do it. I agree with you 100%. I think if they can do it, I think Punk should be on this. Final segment coming up here on Sports Byline, Wrestling Observer Live. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, final segment here on Sports Byline. Nick Hausman joined me for this entire show. And I got to tell you, Nick, you're fantastic. 10 out of 10.
Oh, stop it.
10 out of 10. If Dave was handing out stars, this would be at least 7 stars.
Don't speak for Dave like that. His star system is trademarked. Like,
you know, he sprinkles them every now and then. He'll like, you know, and you get a star and you get a star. He gives them out to us, and we could use it. We could either use it or we possess the power of journalism. That's how it works in pro wrestling.
I imagine that pro wrestling is like a kindergarten classroom where all of the wrestlers are on like a poster board.
Yeah.
And Dave's like, you did a really good match, yeah. Kenny. Here's a star. And at the end of the year, you can take all your stars. You can get anything you want from Uncle Dave's box of toys.
Oh, man. I hope he has some old issues of the Observer in there.
What if stars were like tickets? Like, you want the stars? Like, you want, oh, I got 5 extra. At the end of the year, you count up all
Cash
your stars.
In.
You can buy some. Oh, wow.
I would love that. You know, I'm going to take over.
This.
I said one day I'm gonna put out my own spoof Observer, and it's gonna be the most messed up thing you've ever seen, with no ability to write 50,000 words.
The wrestling knows no wrestling no observer.
The nope server. The wrestling nope server with Andrew Zarian.
Nope-server.
That's what it's gonna be.
There you go.
We got
there
NXT Battleground also going head to head with Double or Nothing. I know it kind of sucks, but this is how it's positioned here. And I got to tell you, I think people know how I've been with NXT. I have been. Not as connected to the product, but you got some really great matches here. And Carmelo Hayes, Braun Breaker, Dragon Lee, Noam Dar, and Dragunov and Dijak stand out specifically to me. Guys, go grab a drink, go order your food, go have a great time. Watch the pay-per-view tonight, Double or Nothing. I want to thank Nick Hausman from House of Wrestling. I'll have all of his links in the show notes. There you go. Nice, nice big red nose. And the glasses. We'll see y'all next time on Wrestling Observer Live.